Hi again, and welcome to the Emrens Podcast, episode 93. It's Tuesday, June 10th, 2008. My name is Arthur, and I'm a gay American now living in New Zealand. Welcome back to my podcast. Now, I last recorded 2 weeks ago, and I said that there wasn't going to be an episode later that week because of the Queen's birthday holiday weekend. But I should have also added that the following week was the busiest week of the month for me, and I just got so wrapped up in that I just didn't have time to record, which of course happens. I'd also hoped that I was going to be able to record with Nigel over that weekend, but it just didn't happen. We were just way too busy. And part of the reason is because our 19-year-old niece went to do a big OE in the U.S. OE stands for Overseas Experience, and it's basically a working holiday. Now, I've blogged about that, and I'm not going to go over that in any great detail right now, particularly because it will probably come up sometime over the next few months, maybe as a topic in itself. But, The weekend ended up being very busy and a bit hectic, and so it just wasn't going to happen that Nigel and I were going to be able to record together. But what I thought I would do today is I thought I would talk a little bit more about moving to New Zealand, some of the things that I didn't talk about last time, and I also have a few more thoughts about the whole being an expat thing. Something came up recently that made me think about that, and then just a few bits and pieces at the end. But first, back to the topic of moving to New Zealand. I know it seems like it's been ages since I talked about that. And actually, I'm not going to go over comments this episode, so if there's something you wanted to say about that episode or any other, you still have plenty of time. But last time I was talking about the various ways that a person could move to New Zealand, and there's a number of different categories that somebody might be eligible for. And the best way to find out where you might be is to go to the Immigration Services website, which is immigration.govt.nz. And I think they have online assessment tools and all that sort of thing. Probably the most common ways to get into New Zealand are the skilled migrant or work to residence categories, which basically allows somebody to come to New Zealand, work, and then eventually become a resident. That's basically what I did. It was a different system when I came here 12, almost 13 years ago. But the gist of it was still the same, that I had an employer who sponsored my visa and my residence permit, and then through that I was eventually able to become a permanent resident as Nigel's partner, and then from there become a citizen. But there are, of course, other ways to get into New Zealand. And I have been asked from time to time about retiring to New Zealand, and there's actually no way to do that, no direct way to do that. The gist of it is that, like a lot of countries, I suppose, New Zealand is worried about elderly people becoming a burden on the system. Now, in the case of New Zealanders, obviously, they're sort of obligated to look after the older people. But they don't want to have people from other countries flocking here with their increasing medical problems and expense. And there's been talk, well, yeah, but if you required them to have private health insurance as a condition of living in New Zealand, maybe then, well, nothing's come of that yet. So if you had any thoughts about retiring to New Zealand, probably the better thing to do is to move here long before you retire so that you can retire here. You have to work in New Zealand for, I think it's like 10 years, maybe a bit more, I can't remember, before you're eligible for national superannuation, which is basically like Social Security retirement pension. So you would have to put in some years here first. Also, once you pass 45, it gets harder and harder and harder to be able to get a permit to live here. So the sooner you move, the better. Obviously. But let's suppose that none of that works for you, for whatever reason, and you do want to come later. Well, there are ways you can get in. One of them is the investor migrant category, and that's not going to work for most people that I know, certainly, because, for instance, there's three categories in that, three subcategories, I guess you'd say. Global investor category, and I'm just going to read this right off the website. For migrants investing 20 million New Zealand dollars in New Zealand, including at least $5 million in active investment. Yeah, right. Next one is professional investor category. For migrants investing 10 million New Zealand dollars in New Zealand, including at least $2 million New Zealand in active investment. And finally, general active investor category. And that's for migrants investing a minimum of 2.5 million New Zealand dollars in New Zealand, who have an additional $1 million in settlement funds. And the $1 million is basically to buy a house, I suppose, and to support you while you're here. And there are certain requirements you have to meet and all those kinds of things. But the point is that if it's getting a bit late to try to get here on some sort of work scheme, that may be one of the few things that's left. Now, there is another category called entrepreneur category. And some of them, you may have a long-term visa permit, visa or permit before you do this. But essentially what it is for people who establish a business that benefits New Zealand, and they have categories and criteria to tell you what is of benefit to New Zealand. That's all on the website. I'm not going to read it, don't worry. But it is a potential way of getting in if you don't either can't or don't want to do it through employment, or you don't have the financial resources to get in through the investor category. That is a potential other way to do it. And I don't know the finances of that. And I think some of that depends on what the company is, because they do say it has to benefit New Zealand. And I mean, not necessarily everything would. So you'd have to investigate that some yourself. And that actually could change. And there is an election coming up later this year, October or November, somewhere in there. And that could change everything. The categories may become harder. They might become easier. There's just no way to tell. But basically, the point is that if you are like ready to make that jump and you're ready to come to New Zealand, you might want to think about starting the process now, because if your application is lodged, you will the old rules will apply. So that if after the election the rules become harder, it shouldn't matter, because you lodged your application under the old rules, and that's what will apply. And basically, you benefit. And similarly, if the rules ease after the elections, you would be able to probably reapply under the new rules, but you'd sort of protect yourself. But that's just, I don't know, I suppose it's a bit of advice more than anything, that it's probably a good idea to lodge your application sooner rather than later. Now, in a kind of related matter, I wanted to talk a little bit about being an expat. And the reason for this is that I was on Twitter yesterday, I guess it was, and I saw a tweet from one of the people I follow called Justin Feed. And it was a link to an article in from Palm Beach, Florida. I was talking about American citizens whose, generally their parents, sometimes grandparents, were born in Europe. And they are seeking citizenship in the ancestral home, you could say, so that they theoretically could live in Europe. Now, I don't, the article was kind of typical for mainstream media. It was a bit shallow. It didn't explore the issues it was raising. It was a bit poorly researched, I thought, and it didn't provide any evidence that there's any sort of trend going on. But it was, you know, it was okay for what it was. And I'll put a link in the show notes because it's vaguely interesting. However, the comments section to that article was a whole nother matter. Because what happened is that the article was linked to by the Drudge Report, you know, the infamous wingnut so-called news site. It's a news aggregator, I guess that's fair. Certainly not a news site. And that brought all the wingnuts out of the woodwork. And they started posting the most inane, stupid, and even bizarre things in the comments to that article. I mean, one guy was saying that any American who moved to Europe would have to give up hot showers, cold beer, and cheap steak. I thought, what? And another guy was talking about how Americans would have to give up a legal system which has the presumption of innocence, trial by jury, and all this sort of stuff. And I thought, where do you think the American legal system came from? It didn't descend from Mars, you know? I mean, it's descended from English common law. And actually, by the way, that is a common myth, that presumption of innocence is unique to America or to law descended from Britain. That's not actually true. It may look like that from the outside, but it is different. And that's actually probably a topic in itself. But it's important to know that particular thing isn't true. But what it reminded me of is two things. First of all, that the wing nuts will go anywhere to try to savage anybody who's not one of them. Anybody who doesn't agree with their goose-stepping philosophy is liberal, first of all, which is the worst word they can call somebody in their mind, or socialist, which to them is the same thing, and is always preceded by words such as ultra, far, loony, all those kinds of words. Those people have a tenuous attachment to reality, to say the least. They're just so out there that they're almost laughable because they're so stupid, because they're so just away with the, I don't know what, they're just not all here, let's put it that way. But also buried in there was a lot of ignorance about Europe and the world in general, but about Europe in particular, because that was the focus of the article. I already mentioned about the legal system. Some of the people apparently believe that the U.S. is the only place on earth where you can get decent healthcare, a good education, what else? All of those kinds of things, consumer goods even. And that's simply not true, obviously. Anybody who knows, who's half a brain cell, would know that there are other places in the world that have first-rate healthcare, first-rate education systems, and on and on and on. And it's one of the things I just wanted to stress, because I go over this again and again in my blog and in the podcast. I talk about New Zealand and what it's like here. And part of what I'm trying to do is to share, especially with people in my American homeland, that there are other places in the world that, in terms of level of life, lifestyle, and so on, are at least as good as the U.S., and in some cases, better than the U.S. Now, that's not talking about the relative value of one country over another. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about the nuts and bolts of life. For example, healthcare. Now, last time I talked about how the healthcare is good. It's a central, single-payer universal system. So everybody, every permanent resident and citizen is covered by it. And I also said that the drawback is that there are waiting lists for some procedures, but you're free to buy private health insurance if you want to. The radical right, particularly in America, is dead set against this notion because they think that it will degrade healthcare. But the quality of the healthcare is not related to who pays for it or how you pay for it. Because actually, as some of the right-wingers were pointing out correctly, there's no such thing as free healthcare. You pay for it one way or another. You either pay through it through premiums through an insurance company, or you pay for it through your taxes, as we do here. The difference is that because it's paid for through taxes and there's no profit motive, everyone is covered and you can be assured of coverage. You don't have to wait for heart operations. You don't have to wait for MRIs. However, they don't do them just willy-nilly, just because they can, just because somebody's paying for it. They do it when it's medically necessary, which is not the case all the time in America. If somebody's got insurance, doctors will push things through. And that's one of the reasons why America's healthcare system is so expensive, because the unnecessary procedures carried out, unnecessary drugs that are prescribed, all those kinds of things. So it annoyed me so much, that article, not the article so much, but the comments, that I just wanted to kind of reiterate that don't challenge your assumptions, I guess is what I'm saying, about any place you might think about moving to, because chances are good that it's not going to be as bad as you think. It may not even be as good as you think, quite frankly. Do your own research. Find out for yourself. Don't necessarily listen to what anybody, even me, tells you. Find out for yourself. But there was another aspect to those comments that I wanted to sort of react to, I suppose. And that's among the frothing right, the constant referrals to people who leave America as being some sort of traitor, as good riddance, and don't let the door hit you, and all these kinds of things. Now, I mentioned a long time ago, back in episode 55, when I talked about being an expat, that anybody who decides to move to another country may encounter people they know, people they care about, who basically reject them because of the fact they're moving to another country. And that's exactly the sort of attitude I was talking about. The fact of the matter is, as I've said repeatedly, you don't have to stop loving your homeland just because you don't live there anymore. And the analogy I've drawn before is with my family. I very seldom see my family now. I talk to them from time to time, send emails and so on, but I don't actually see them. It doesn't mean I stop loving them just because I don't see them. And the same thing is true for my homeland. I don't stop loving my homeland, America, even though I don't live there anymore. So it's just something I think people should be aware of, that if you do make the decision to emigrate anywhere, New Zealand or any other country, chances are good that you will run across somebody who will treat you like you're being some sort of traitor. And I think it's good to know that sort of attitude is out there, so that if it hits you, you won't be shocked by it. And also so you can sort of think in advance about what your own comeback is going to be. I mean, there are plenty of smart things you can say, or you can talk rationally, anything you want. But clearly those attitudes are out there, and I do think it's something that people should be aware of. Now, shifting gears, I wanted to talk a little bit about, I suppose it's about the podcast in general. As I've obviously been making this transition to the new site at aaronspodcast.com, and that's all fine so far, I guess, even though I haven't gotten around to putting a blog roll on or anything like that. I haven't made the site pretty yet. But there was something that was related to the Podomatic revamp that I wanted to talk about, just because I like to share from time to time where I'm coming from so that you can kind of get an appreciation that I'm not just, you know, somebody who does research online and talks to you about it, but I'm a real person. And that's that when Podomatic redid its site, which, by the way, was untested, and they didn't get any feedback that I'm aware of from any user, any customer, among other things, they revamped it so that what are called bots, it's automated software, basically, that crawls around the internet. Google has them, others have them. Sometimes they're called web crawlers. They go around and they check websites for content, and they do whatever they do with it. Well, they originally, their site apparently was counting every bot that that accessed the podcaster's site as being a hit or a subscriber or something like that. And so they wanted to change it so that those are no longer counted, which is fine. I mean, I don't really care. I didn't pay much attention to the number of visits to the website or to the, the feed views or what have you, because it wasn't really relevant to me, and I'm not trying to sell ads, so the numbers didn't matter. And I also wasn't using the Podomatic site itself. I was using Amarins.com, so it didn't really matter. However, when they made these changes, all of a sudden, my downloads practically disappeared overnight. As a matter of fact, the episode that I released at the time, unfortunately, at the time of the changeover, which was the episode with Monique Rhodes, 91, I think it was, had two downloads the first day. Two. And I was one of them, and I think Fairy Princess Holly was the other. Now, I don't have any reason to think that those statistics are actually true, because everything was so totally screwed up on that website. The chances are maybe half of the downloads weren't even recorded. That's entirely possible and even probable. But the point is this. I looked at those downloads for that episode, which were so minuscule, at least at first, and other episodes as well, which had been adjusted downward after their new software kicked in. And there was a little part of me and my first reaction was, well, what's the point? Because I'd been working so hard to try to build up the podcast and provide content that listeners had asked for, essentially, try to respond to listeners and to try to build and expand the podcast, only to see all those numbers evaporate. And I'm talking about serious numbers, in some cases as much as 50% lower than I had been led to believe they were, sometimes more, sometimes only about a third down. It seems to have stabilized now because the numbers kept going up as the days passed. They kept revising their figures over and over and over again to the point where I just stopped looking at them because I couldn't tell what was going on. Well, things have apparently stabilized and more or less returned to normal. And as it happens, I had come to the conclusion that it really wasn't the numbers. I mean, I knew this all along. It wasn't the numbers that made me do this podcast. It was simply the fact that I had things I wanted to say, things I wanted to share, wanted to interact with people around the world through the medium of a podcast. And the downloads are a bonus. And the more I get, obviously, the better, because it means I'm interacting with more people. But I wasn't doing it for the downloads as such. I mean, I'm never going to have the kind of numbers that many other podcasters have, because this is really a pretty niche podcast when it comes down to it. However, I would like more, obviously. And part of the reason is because that will help me attract more guests to the podcast. So I can share more of New Zealand or New Zealanders with my audience. Which brings me back to that episode with Monique Rhodes. Now, I know that more people actually listen to it than it shows on the Podomatic site, on the stats on their site, because I happened to release it at the same time that everything blew up. However, I'd like some help with that. If any of you haven't listened to that episode yet, I'd say please do go to my website, amarinspodcast.com, and download it or listen to it online if you want, I don't mind, and leave a comment, because I would like to be able to share with Monique some of the listener feedback. I mean, I've heard some things, people have sent me some emails, and that's great. But because of all of the kerfuffle that happened at that time, it sort of, I think, kind of slipped through the cracks. And plus of which, it was late being released on a holiday weekend in America, and most of my listeners are in America. That was another issue. Thank you very much, Podomatic. And I feel bad because I wish that episode had gotten more exposure than it did. Not entirely through my fault. I mean, I suppose if I thought about it, I should have held it for the following Tuesday, but be that as it may. Yeah, so I would like that episode to get more exposure, and I would also like to help her as well, of course. So I would also like to ask that you go ahead and buy her CD. The links are through, you can get to the links through my site, amarinspodcast.com, or you can go directly to MoniqueRhodes.com and buy the CD, encourage an independent artist, and that will indirectly help me too, because it helps establish that there is a point in being on independent media like podcasts. But that's up to you ultimately, but it would help me if you would do those sorts of things, leave a comment, order the CD, what have you. But related to that episode too, and I should have mentioned this last time, and I apologize profusely, but I forgot. It's an honest truth. That episode, I'm greatly indebted to the assistance of Tim Carmel from Go Rainbow Radio, and also there's some who call me Tim, and Wes Stone from the Live It Up podcast. Go Rainbow Radio, if you don't listen to it, is a podcast basically about dance music. And so Tim has some experience talking with people in the music industry. And Wes used to be an entertainment journalist at one stage. So I asked both of them for some guidance on how to approach that, because I'd never actually talked to an entertainer before. And so they both gave me some advice and some suggestions, which I took to heart. And I just wanted to thank them publicly for their support and their help, because I really appreciated it and it certainly helped me. And I do apologize for not mentioning that last time, which I meant to, but it just totally slipped my mind. But that's it for today. I'm actually feeling a bit under the weather, so I'm just going to wrap this up early. I just didn't want to wait until later in the week and hope that I felt better. Leave a comment on my blog, amrenspodcast.com, or you can send an email to me at arthur@amrens.com, and Arthur is A-R-T-H-U-R. And, of course, you can ring my U.S. listener line on 206-339-8413. And, of course, that number is going to be expiring in 5 days because I haven't received any voicemails lately. Not that I'm saying you need to ring, I'm just saying. But that is it for this week, everybody. For today, anyway. I expect to be back later this week with more, unless I feel really crappy, in which case I won't. But that's all for today. Take care, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.